from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always beats 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tuning in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And happy Wednesday, people. Whoa, you're almost there. Very, very close to the weekend. And we have an exciting guest today. She's going to feature two of her songs. Now, let me tell you, these songs, okay, first one, you're going to want to get some tissues. And the second one, you're going to want to stand up and just praise the Lord, because it is one of those let me get motivated type of songs. I've been listening to it every morning, and it is pretty incredible. I haven't ran a marathon yet, but I'm close because I've thought about it. It's a very motivating song. So I welcome you to the Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you all of you that listen each week. I think I have one. Hi, Mom. Maybe two. Hi, Michelle, my sister. So I'm hoping to expand my audience, because my mom has like won every t-shirt and CD and DVD giveaway. So come on, people. I hope you're listening. Also, I just want to thank One Jam Nation Radio for having Tina Talks Truth Radio Show every Wednesday at 10 a.m. And thank you to Idioms for the introduction song. Yeah, I got my own rap song, people. And I'm going to start us off with prayer, and then we're going to jump into this interview, because this girl, she's got a lot to say, and you are going to want to just listen up, because she moves you and she grooves you, and she shares her loyalty to excellence. So you're not going to want to miss this interview with Miss Jennifer McGill. So Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for another day. We thank you for the abundant blessings that you bestow on us every single day, Lord. We have breath today. That's a blessing. We also have the ability to bless other people, and that's because of your mercy and your grace. So we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. I thank you for our guest, Jennifer. I thank you for her transparency and her ability to share the joy in her journey with the world. Bless her. Please form a hedge of protection around her when she's traveling and singing and performing and just praising you, Lord. She's worshiping you. It's not about entertaining people. It's literally about worshiping you and giving you all the glory and praise, God. So thank you for her, and thank you for all my family, my friends, and thank you for the listeners, even if it's just two people. Thank you for everyone that listens to the Tina Talks Truth Radio Show, and Lord, thank you for opening doors that no man can shut. Big, big doors you're opening, Lord, and I just thank you. Thank you for trusting me to just carry forth the hope, joy, laughter, and healing in this world. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Jennifer.
We are so excited to have Jennifer McGill, and she is a recording artist, a worship leader, and speaker. And so we just want to say good morning to you, Jennifer, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Tina. It's awesome to be here.
Well, I am just so excited. I tell you, I just have to say, I watched your video, the Unbreakable song and video.
Yeah.
Whoa. It is phenomenal. I'm telling
you.
People, you gotta go on YouTube and go to, you got like, 13,000 views or something of it. It's just wild.
I think so, yes, it, which is super great, yeah.
Wow, I'm telling you, it's one, I need to listen to that song every morning.
I love just, it. Yeah, it reminds
it's
me
awesome.
Of that. Right.
Yeah, yes,
it's powerful. We wanted sort of a survivor type of feel for that video, because even if it doesn't look like it, like, I'm a very pale girl who is not super into the sun all the time, and this video is all about surviving in extreme conditions, in the sun, with the wind blowing, like actual, like sandstorms behind me, like literally there while we're filming. And it was definitely like a survivor day for me. So that is what we want to convey, that more than surviving, you're thriving even in the most extreme conditions. You're unbreakable.
Absolutely. Where was the location of the video filmed?
It was in Nevada. It was outside of Las Vegas. We just found, you know, the best areas that we like, you know, for different backdrop in a desert type location. There was this really cool town, and of course I'm not going to be able to remember the name of it, that our director scouted with like an arranged crashed plane. It is not an actual crashed site. We don't want anyone to think that we're glorifying tragedy, but you know, it's this really cool old plane that they arranged so that it looks like it's crashed into the earth. And it just symbolizes like, okay, crashes happen, but I'm walking around, you know, I'm here and I'm kicking the dust. I'm dusting myself off and I keep on walking. So it's definitely very symbolic, very meaningful, totally autobiographical as well.
Amen. Yeah, God just, he keeps us alive. He keeps us moving forward. And it really depicts like we're, you know, that we're survivors and that we're conquerors. That's what it was.
Right.
It really feels like, okay, I'm putting the armor of God on and I'm going to conquer
right.
whatever mountain is in front of me today.
That's right. We're
awesome.
Still standing. That's right. We're still standing, you know? So absolutely.
Yay.
That's one of my favorite lyrics from the song.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I love it. And we're actually going to be featuring that song after this interview. So thank you so much. It's just going to get
welcome.
Everyone on their feet.
Hooray. Yes. Love it.
And now this all started way back when with a big old mouse with the Mickey Mouse Club. And you were actually a Mouseketeer, right?
I was. We're called the 90s cast. I was cast in the 80s. I was about 10 years old when I first started auditioning. And at 11, I had a pilot under my belt and then went on to complete the full 7 seasons of the new Mickey Mouse Club on the Disney Channel. And we had some pretty cool celebrities sort of come out of that show. You know, some kids that we were all just coworkers together. They've become a big deal, mostly in the secular world, you know, like Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, even Ryan Gosling, you know. Yeah, it's kind of brought a lot of fans together on social media, remembering the good old days of the show.
That is so cool. Now, I saw a video. It was kind of like a testimony video, I think, of yours on YouTube. And you said about that you realized there was a moment where you realized that God gave you these gifts and that you were going to use it to glorify Him and not in the worldly sense, but in a worship sense. Can you share with our audience, like, what was that moment like and how has that journey been for you?
Yes, and long story short, you know, God took me through God allowed me to go through many years of using my gifts from the inside out in the wrong way. Like maybe on the outside, people were loving the singing and the performing. You know, I was making people happy. I was entertaining. But my intentions, what I wanted from my gifts, were more along the lines of fame and validation for me, for the sake of me. So He let me really make a lot of trials and tribulations years out of my life pursuing the wrong kind of validation through my gift. And it came to a point where I really felt like, you know, the worldly validation, the identity that I was searching from that part of life had let me down. So I was very lost. I didn't know who I was. I lost who I was in Christ. And it's possible that I never really knew who I was as a full human being in Christ until I reached my lowest time where I did feel super lost. And so, you know, I grabbed that moment when I was about 30 years old and I had lived for close to 15 years searching for the wrong kind of identity or validation. And I rededicated myself to Jesus because I knew He'd never left me, but I really felt like I left Him for a long time. I just didn't take anything, any advice from Him. And so I just, you know, really confessed all my mistakes and confessed that I had been trying to control my life and that I gave it all back to Him. And through that, the first connections that He brought to me, the first opportunities were opportunities to worship, to learn more about Him in a safe work environment at the Holy Land Experience in Orlando. I learned about spiritual warfare, and I started to adult with God for the first time. I never knew how to be a fully grown human being with Christ in the center of me, and that's what I started learning. So for the next 10 years up until today, I've seen how he's grown the identity and the reason for my talents through glorifying him. And so I literally walked the hard road, the long way around. But it's worth it because now I'm 100% sure of why I'm here and what my talent is supposed to be for. Because I did make mistakes, you know, and sometimes that's the road you take. Hopefully my testimony will help people not have to take that road, save some time. But that is how I know for sure that I'm doing God's work, because I spent many years not looking to do God's work. I know the difference.
Yes, I love that. Actually, on your website, you have a really fabulous quote. No matter what opportunities or obstacles may come my way, I strive to glorify God by being excellent with what he gives me one day at a time.
That's right. That's a big, don't beat yourself up. Breathe in, breathe out. Don't be overwhelmed. You have to see what's in front of you and be present in the moment. You know, a lot of, I would say any career can involve planning, strategy, trajectory, purpose, promise, you know, the potential. And all of that is very great. But there's also an element of taking the moment with God, breathing him in and out, being present moment to moment, and finding the joy in the journey. That is so much easier said than done. Because I came from a time before all of this technology that helps singers sound, you know, even more on pitch, or, you know, whatever in records and all sorts of stuff, you know, a lot of technological artistry has developed. You know, I came from a time where you actually had to sing the way we're going to hear you. Like, it's got to come straight from your mouth. And so I developed a real love and, I would say, loyalty to excellence, where I show up and you hear what I put on my album. You hear me speak genuinely and joyously about my life. What you see is what you get. What you hear, you're going to get live. And that's how I inspire others as well. Anybody that I coach, anybody else that I speak to about it, I'm a big promoter of excellence. Because it doesn't matter if you've won prizes or if you're the best or whatever labels the world's going to try to put on you. If God gave you the talent, he has a purpose for it. And your job is just to be the best you can at it, not to be some sort of label, but just to be the best that you can, because that's God's intent for you. So I'm very passionate about that.
Absolutely. I could tell, and not only just talking with you can I tell that, but I can hear it and see it in your videos, in your songs, in your blogs, and you vlog, and you everything and anything in between.
It's everywhere.
You're busy. But, you know, there is, I like that. I love actually what you just said about loyalty to excellence, and that you walk the talk. I mean, you know, yeah. What you see is what you get. And that's just incredible to me. And also that you can go on stage. And I love artists like that. I love the song on CD or on iTunes or, you know, the MP3 of the song. But when you go and you see that artist live and you're like blown away by their voice, it's even better than it is recorded. That's
right.
A true, true artist to me.
Yeah, and that's what I love too. I mean, it's cool, like, to have the spectacle of any kind of live stuff. I mean, I love great live entertainment, whatever that looks like. But yes, you know, I was trained and my ear is trained for great vocalists live. I want to see it live, you know. I just find that that's so impressive, you know. And so it's just a special thing when you can find, you know, a great live vocalist or a great live musician of any kind, and just see them really celebrate their talent live. It's very cool.
It's a gift. And I love that you're using your gift to worship and lead people to God and not just entertain them. And that's one of the things I think you had said in this video that I watched. And there's a song actually that we're going to feature right now. If you could please do the introduction for What I Know Now.
Yes, What I Know Now is actually, it was originally written by me and a wonderful musician friend of mine, Jen Bostick, to create a love letter to my 11-year-old self. When I was about 11 years old was the first time I experienced verbal bullying. And I remember how devalued I felt, how less than, or even too much I felt. And that memory was a seed unknowingly planted
that really influenced my self-doubt and any struggle I had with self-esteem for decades after that. And I've always wished that if I could go back in time and take that little girl by the face and tell her what I know now, that, you know, what could be different? And so it started out as a letter to my little girl self, but it's really a message to any little girl today, any person today, wherever they are and however they're struggling with those giants, those obstacles that seem so big in our lives, telling them a little bit of truth about it. So that's what I know now is all about.
A shooting star, you're so much stronger than you think you are. More than a flash in the pan, you can do more than you think you can. I know it feels like the end right now, but hold on. My words somehow. No matter what they say, you're braver than you know. These giants that you face are putting on a show. They're only 4 feet tall and just so beautiful. If you could know and have them now, if only you could.
Much, Jennifer, for sharing that song. And I ask all of my guests just 4 questions. What brings you hope?
Definitely Jesus. Even the name of Jesus, you know, when things get complicated or confusing or muddy in my life, I go back to what he says in the Bible everywhere and what he did. I go back to his actions and why he did what he did to save everybody. And it calms me and it gives me hope that if he can go through that, then I'm never alone in my struggles. There is always Jesus. You know, that is a truth that will never change. So that does center me, calm me down, and really put a lot into perspective. And I can always hope to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I love that. That's exactly, you know, hope, it brings us comfort to know that we're not alone. And Jesus, yeah, through his actions, he certainly does that. And I'm just so grateful for him and his salvation. Yes. What about joy? What brings you joy?
There's actually so much that brings me joy. Many years ago, I redefined or discovered that joy is different than just, you know, happiness. I mean, to be happy is great. Like, we all want to be happy. But there is a joy that is more of an undercurrent that is constant in my life now. And yes, that stems from God, you know, from the Holy Spirit, from everything that I gather from my faith. But, you know, the simple joys also make me very happy and joyous. You know, I love spending time with my family. I love my little dog, Baxter. I'm a newlywed. We just celebrated our first anniversary. I love making music. I love art. I love movies. You know, I love being creative and, you know, seeing nature, like looking out of a window and seeing the mountains of Nashville, you know, or the high hills of Nashville, you know, beauty in nature. It just all reminds me of God's gifts, God's love. And, you know, I am my mother's daughter. Her name was Joy. My middle name is Joy. And so I believe that, you know, the memory of her and how I know that I am carrying the torch for her and all of the great stuff that God made her to be, I'm carrying that torch. That also brings me joy.
Oh, I love it. And I love earlier in the interview you said about find the joy in the journey. And
yeah,
it's so true. You know, it's just the simple things in life. And you also said about just breathing, you know, and there's joy in just breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we woke up today.
That's right. Breathing in and out, being present, that's a certain kind of joy that sustains us through maybe when things aren't happy. You know, and that's why joy is different. Joy is bigger and it's more powerful because it is straight from the Lord. You know, it's not an emotion. It is a consuming power that God has in store for us. You know, if we can just grab a hold of it. And like I said, breathe in and out, you know, be present in the moment. Remember what's most important in life.
And it's contagious, just like laughter. Mm-hmm. So how important is laughter to you?
Laughter is so important. There was a time, again, I know laughter is so important because there was a time that I tried to sort of dumb myself down, if you will, or try to hide, edit myself. When I was a young teenager, sort of after 11, I was still on the Mickey Mouse Club, and there was a year that I just stopped smiling on camera for the most part. And this show was a comedy show, and I was good at it. You know, I loved, you know, being, like, getting audience to laugh. I was a total nerd in a good way. Like, now I especially see it, you know, I'm an adult nerd now. But I just stopped trying to be how I was naturally created to be, which meant that I was just way more calm, way more, what is that word, like disconnected. I was just sort of like, whatever, it's cool. I try to be cool. And cool didn't look right on me. Whatever I was trying to be, whatever I thought cool was, it didn't look good on me. It made me look sad, and it made me look disappointed all the time. But now I have done a complete 360 back to when I was a preteen. And I talk about how I'm a goober for God now. Like, I'm a total jokester. I'm just funny, like nutty. When I interview people, like I just interviewed some artists on the red carpet at the Dove Awards, and they gave me high fives after the interview because it was just fun. And they would say, you're fun. And I feel like I've accomplished something very special for those artists. So let them have a moment, fun, just playing around, not taking life too seriously, enjoying a moment in a different way. And so I love making people laugh. I love laughing. One of the reasons why my husband and I are so great together is because we just laugh together over nothing or everything. I think laughter is so important. And my mother was very bubbly, and I'm very excited to have inherited that from her.
Oh, that's awesome. And I got to tell you, that Unbreakable video, you are super cool. I was like, oh, this girl needs to be my fashion designer. I mean,
oh, my goodness.
You are so cool.
I actually picked out all the wardrobe for that. Everything that I was wearing was my decision. And I do joke, like, who else but me would wear, like, a whole bunch of jackets in the desert, right? Like, why would I do that to myself? But I love jackets, you know.
Hey, yeah, you looked great.
Sometimes. Hey, I do get a little serious in front of the camera sometimes when the wind's blowing and it's like a big song. Like, I do kind of stare down the camera a little bit.
But when the camera turns off, I'm just a big nut. So you see that when I speak. Like in person, you get all the colors of the wind with me.
Hey, I loved the gold feather, like leaves around your ear. I was like,
oh thank you.
Yes. Big. You got the, the side of your head shaved. And
yes, and they're all like, I find fun little accessories like that, you know, at really kind of chain stores. I mean, like I found cool things at Walmart like that before. Almost like all of my leggings come from Walmart. Like I enjoy having an eye for something that maybe I could pull off that maybe other people wouldn't see it that way. And I like finding the unique even in, you know, really accessible places. So I appreciate that because I had that before those ear things came into style, I guess. I don't know why. I don't know where I found it, but I don't know why it was there ahead of time, you know, as far as I hadn't seen it trending. But I'm glad you noticed that. I just thought that was so fun. I had had that piece for about 2 years before we put it in the video.
Yeah, super cool. Loved it, loved
Thank
it.
You.
Oh, yeah, I was like, I'm like taking 3 pages of notes right now. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to get gold leaves and put them around my ears.
Yeah, right?
I got to tell you.
No.
Okay. Talking about when you're 11 years old, I think I was like 9 years old, and my mom was like, you can't pierce your ears. So I literally took these plastic paper clips, and I like tore out the middle of them so that they were kind of like awkward hoop earrings, and they were different
yes.
colors.
Yeah.
So I put those on my ears. Yeah, it didn't work out as like, cool.
But you MacGyvered. You MacGyvered an accessory.
Yes,
I mean,
that's
very
right.
cool. I also remember about that time. I mean, I did have pierced ears, but I remember I would get to go to the craft store, and they have the clip that have a smooth surface on the front side where I would like make puffy paint and construction paper earrings, glue it onto that surface, and then clip those earrings on. So we should have been friends so that you would have benefited from my craftsmanship because
goodness.
You would have rocked those as well.
You would have totally been in my sister and my God's Eye Club.
Yes.
Do you remember the God's Eyes made out of popsicle sticks with yarn?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, but I MacGyvered all sorts of accessories, and I remember I also like tried to figure out how to turn my light off and on from my bed, and I had a canopy bed before the Mickey Mouse Club when I was a one-digit member. I would try to MacGyver this pulley system to try to turn my light on and off. I would try to develop a new locking system. Like I was all about it, like everything. How can I make it myself?
Wow. Okay, so you had a canopy bed.
I did. I did a pink,
ruffly
canopy bed. Yeah.
Wait, were you into Holly Hobby?
Not as much as Rainbow Bright. Like, I was like a Care Bear, Rainbow Bright, like Little Orphan Annie, you know. And my mom would make me dolls. So if I was in the Hobby Lobby, she would have made one for me. You know, like, that's how we did the Cabbage Patch Kit as well. When I didn't have the money for it, you know, she's like, you save up money or I can make you one. Yeah.
Oh, that's crackers. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, well, I'm going to actually switch gears a little bit. And, you know, healing is so important. And it sounds like your testimony has just, it's just been not only, you know, finding the joy in the journey, but also a healing adventure. How do you know when someone is healed or healing?
I think from my personal journey, I would say that these days I am very forthcoming with the old stories of shame, what used to bring me guilt and shame, what used to identify me as broken or disqualified, I now see as a way to connect with others to show them they're not alone, this isn't just happening to you, and there is hope through this time of pain or shame. So I get excited about sharing stories now and connecting, which is why I know that those old stories, I've healed from them. Like, I've healed from those mistakes because now I'm fully able to be open about it without feeling ashamed. You know, you move on and you take the wisdom from
the hard times in your life, whether it was mistakes you made or just hard times that have happened to you. And the goal is to glorify God through loving on other people, through helping other people, however you're led to do that. I think that the one thing that brings tears to my eyes still, I would say is the exception, or maybe just another way to look at what healing means, is you know, talking about my mother. She passed away basically from a heart attack when I was 24, and she was my favorite person, you know. So when I talk about her and that time, I can get teary-eyed, and I can sort of transport back to certain times, which do, of course, affect me emotionally. But I feel that I have healed from the hole that she left in my heart, because I can understand and explain to others that though cherishing your parents is amazing and you know what we are to do, I had put her on the Jesus pedestal. And so at the time, I can see now, I couldn't see past her to Jesus. But when she was gone, that hole in my heart allowed me to look further. And God used that pain and used that loss to bring me closer to him in the long run. And so even with a painful thing like that, like I'll never stop loving her, I'll never stop missing her and being affected by her. But, you know, those tears are different than tears of shame. And so, yes, healing is super important. And the process of healing, just like joy in the journey, there is joy through the journey of healing. But I think a lot of people get super impatient about, I just want to be done with it. I just need to be done. And sometimes God doesn't work that way. So I'm a big advocate for meeting people where they are in their healing and saying, look, even if you still aren't finished, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You know, look beyond the hurt to God. So I'm just a big advocate of healing. You know, I talk about how I'm restored. Like my word is restoration. And I think about like the old furniture, like that is so in now, like the rustic furniture, and how beautiful we see these old kind of banged up things that are, you know, refurbished, restored, and put in, you know, high end stores now, like bought for high prices. And I do look at myself like that. And I do look at other people's journeys like that, that you are going to come out so much more beautiful through your pain, through holding on to God, than you ever could have forced yourself to be on your own. Big, big, cool image I get about restoration and healing.
Oh, that is powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I can't imagine. Yeah, I was thinking of this other day, like, how does a woman live without their mother? Like, I just could not imagine.
Right.
You know, my mom's my best friend, and we talk every day, and I mean, it just, whew. And for you to bring you even closer to Jesus, it's just remarkable to me. So I just love that you shared that. So powerful. And you're right. It's a process. Healing is a process. And sometimes we can get so impatient with ourselves or other people. And I love that you shared that you know, walk beside people and you support them and through that process. But the restoration, you know, they say that when we go to heaven, that we're actually going to be like restored and, you know, to the best of ourselves. Do you think we get our 16-year-old body back?
I don't know because, like, was 16 really the pinnacle? I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. I want my 16-year-old body back.
But, yeah, yes, yeah. I can see, like, it would be cool to kind of, like, I would be restored with, like, a whole bunch of pixie dust, like, all up in my skin, right? Like, I'd just be this, like, rhinestone-encrusted lady, you know? So,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And my other question about heaven is, are we single again? Like, you know, I'm like,
yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
It doesn't say it in the Bible.
It's true, you know, and it is funny because, like, I think about, you know, I was joking with my husband at some point last year about, like, I don't want your old girlfriends coming up to you. Like, we're it, you know, when we get there, we're it, right? You know, and just being silly about that. But, you know, we can't know. Obviously, I know you're kind of kidding, but not, you know, but I know we can't know the arrangement, how we live day to day in heaven. But what I do know, and what does, again, center me and get me excited and calm about all the difference that's going to be in heaven, is that when I get there, I'm going to be so excited to see who's there, but there will be the thicker than ever connection to Jesus
And really, I'm just going to want to hang out with him a whole bunch and then be really happy with everyone who's around me. And so, you know, whatever is up with marriage and mom and everybody, like, I know that Jesus is going to come first for all of us. And it'll be awesome whoever we see, you know? And of course, like, my human heart wants to be able to, like, live in a home with my husband and have a life there too. But, you know, we cannot imagine how we're going to be connected to Jesus when there's actually no border anymore. There's no boundary. And I get excited about it, you know, but it is scary when I think about it because a lot will change in a great way that we can't fathom today.
Yeah. Talk about pixie dust and cupcakes and sprinkles. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'll get to eat all the mint chocolate chip ice cream I ever want.
Oh, my gosh. That's my favorite.
Yes. Like, it doesn't matter if it's green or white.
Yes.
As long as it's mint chocolate chip.
It's all good. It is all good.
Yes.
Okay. So how can we pray for you, Jennifer, and your ministry?
Well, I'm really looking forward to next year whenever I finish this book that I am now foraging through to finish. So I would love prayers for the right ending to this book, that God's words just flow through me, whatever he wants me to say, however he wants me to say it, as I spend these last months finishing the book. And just prayers for the right organizations, the right people, the right churches to find me and to bring me to their places to speak life and to love on their people. Because that's what all of these past 2 years have been building up towards, so that the products are out, you know, the album's out, the book will be out, and I can just go talk about what I've been singing and writing about and then sing it live, you know, and then pray for people. Like, just getting in front of people and being with them, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, being alongside people, supporting them in their journey, like showing them joy in the journey, being in front of them like that. That's my heart's desire. And so just prayers for that becoming fulfilled from next year and beyond.
Absolutely. You got it. We will pray for you to finish your book and for that, you know, Holy Spirit written ending just to touch millions of hearts, and for churches and organizations to find you and that you could sing live and actually support people in person in the flesh. So we will definitely pray for all that. And I thank you, Jennifer, for taking time to be on the Tina Talks Truth radio show.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. I love talking about crafting and things with you. It was lovely. Fabulous. Rhinestones and crafting. Fabulous.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. And if people want to reach out to you, how do they get in contact with you?
You can find everything through jennifermcgill.com. My YouTube page, like you said, has my first single video, Unbreakable. I'm on social media, so you can just search my name in Facebook. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Jennifer McGill.
Thank you so much. And now the audience gets to enjoy Unbreakable. Listen to this.
Wasn't she incredible? Oh, Jennifer, I mean, your voice in that song is just remarkable. But more than that, I feel like we've been friends forever. Like, we both love mint chocolate chip ice cream. We had fake cabbage patch dolls. I mean, we have so many similarities. I can't sing, though. But I can bust a move. And I saw the Mouse Club video of you busting a move in the Thriller. So I know you could bust a move too. So when we get up, you know, when we get together in January, yeah, we're going to have to bust some moves, girl. So I have the privilege of sharing Jennifer's song, Unbreakable. Get up on your feet, people. This song is gonna rock you.
Nothing can separate us. Nothing can come between us now. Nothing can take away us.